We live in a kind of a confusing and frightening time right now. This is very different. There's things that are way beyond our control, and when things, there are a lot of unknowns, and when you deal with a lot of unknowns, when you deal with things beyond our control, it has a way of producing fears and stress and anxiety. And if we lose our perspective, it can cause us to even begin to doubt God. I hear people say, well, where's God in all this? Does God not see and care? And I hear others saying, is this God's judgment on us? Well, I want to look at this morning. I want to study a few passages of Scripture this morning to help us keep a correct spiritual perspective. We're going to begin in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Very, very familiar verse. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to begin with the first verse there. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, but he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to encourage us, hold fast to your faith. All that is happening or may happen, in all of it, keep your faith. By that I mean give serious attention to your spiritual life. We talked about that last Sunday. We talked about it Wednesday night. Give serious attention to your spiritual life. There's a lot of things to distract. There's a lot of things to get caught up in. But the most important thing is to give serious attention to your spiritual life. Fuel your love and trust in God by focusing on your relationship with Him. Now, many of us, not all, but many of us have some extra time with what's going on. You're confined to your house, so you have some time to choose what to do. Choose to spend serious time with God. And by that I mean talk to Him. Pray. Talk to Him about your life. Talk to Him about what's going on at large, but talk to Him about what's going on in your life. Spend time in His Word. Amen? Be instructed. Look to grow. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith is built on our confidence and trust in God. And our confidence and trust in God is first founded on our confidence in what He's promised, and secondly, on our experience with Him. As you live for God, you'll find Him to be faithful. You'll find that you can love Him and trust Him because He's faithful. And faith, it says, the foundation of faith here is believing that God is and that God's good, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is worthy of our love and trust. I don't know what may happen. I pray God protect us all. But there is no guarantee that some of us won't have the coronavirus. There's not even a guarantee that some of us may not die from the coronavirus. Amen? In national calamities, God doesn't always preserve everyone. Saints have been martyred. Saints have died of disease. This is what comes on. When something comes on our nation, it comes on us. We're part of that nation. But whatever comes our way, stay focused. God's worthy of our love and trust. He's good all the time, in every situation. He's perfectly good. He's holy. That means He always does what is absolutely right, always for the right reason, always the right motivation. He's not arbitrary. Everything God does has a reason, a just, holy, and good reason. Amen? God allows things. He doesn't create everything that happens. But He does allow. But in allowing that, He already knows everything that can be known. He knows the past, the current, the future. Nothing ever takes Him by surprise. That means God is always prepared. God always has a plan. But because God is good, God hates evil. He will deal with evil in His creation. This is God's creation. He's active in it. He has a plan. And by the way, that plan is still perfectly on track. He will accomplish that plan. And in all that plan, God loves you and I. And more than anything, God wants a real relationship with us. A real relationship with you and I that will carry beyond this world into eternity. He truly loves us. He truly cares about us. Luke 12:6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You're more value than many sparrows. You understand, God sees everything. A lot of the birds are out now. They're eating. They're moving around, getting prepared for spring. But not one of those little sparrows falls to the ground. It says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? I don't know what a farthing's worth, but I doubt you could get anything out of 5 sparrows if you had them. But not one of them dies without God taking note. He's concerned about all of His creation. He's concerned about every detail of your life, down to how many hairs is on your head. He knows all about it. He knows the details about you that aren't even important, the details that you don't even know. God knows about us. He cares about us. Amen? He's always known about us. Isaiah 44:24 says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, He hath formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. God is above and beyond everything. And He began to know us when we were in the womb, before we knew anything. When 2 cells became 1 and divided, God knew all about us. Amen? God knows everything there is to know about you and me. And He cares about us. Isaiah 46:3 says, listen to me, descendants of Jacob, the few people left in the nation of Israel. I've carried you since your birth. I've taken care of you from the time you were born. Even when you're old, I'll take care of you. Even when your hairs turn gray, I'll support you. I made you, and I will continue to care for you. I'll support you and save you. To whom will you compare me and make me equal? To whom will you compare me that we may be alike? God said, there's nobody like me. I know all about you. He said, I know everything there is to know. And He said, I carried you from the womb. I'll carry you till you're old and your hair turns gray. Amen? God knows you. If you're a child of God, God knows you. He knows you by name. I found a song this week. I'd heard it before, but I found it, and I was tempted to play it this morning. I may read the verses to you. It says, He knows my name. He said, He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine because He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of my life. But I know in whom I have believed. He knew who I was when He carried my cross. He knew that I would fail Him, but He took the loss. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine because He knows my name. We can trust Him. Trust Him. Flee to Him in this time. Cast all your cares on Him. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Because He cares. Turn all your anxiety and fears over to God. Because He truly cares. Amen? That's my first admonition. Keep your faith in God. When you run into adverse situations, whether it be at your job, with your finances, or with your health, we're tempted to say, where's God? What's going on? Why am I suffering? Hey, you may not know anything about what's going on, but this you can know. God truly knows all about you. God cares about you. He's still in control. All of our fears are what the future may hold. All of our fears are what's going on currently. God knows all about it. Take it to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. Amen? Keep your faith. The second verse we read shows us that faith causes us to be sensitive to God's will. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen. I'm not a prophet in the sense of foretelling the future by divine revelation, but I am a prophet in the sense of proclaiming God's word and message. And this is my opinion of the current situation. I do not believe this current calamity is judgment unto destruction, but I do firmly believe it should be a wake-up call for Christians. Again, I don't know if it's God's judgment, but I am certain of this. It's a reminder that we are not in control. As humans on this planet, we are not in control. There is nothing sure, nothing stable apart from God. Not our government, not our economy, not our jobs, not our health. There is nothing stable apart from God. This is God's world still. All of our learnings and advances, we still have not conquered this creation. God still is in control. And there's often times he lets us see that we are not as much in control as we think we are. Life has been good. In fact, life is still very good. So good, in fact, that many don't believe they need God anymore. I even see it in comments on articles online, you know, that we're beyond this fairy tale of a God or a Superman in heaven or a Superman in the skies. We've moved beyond that. I tell you what, sometimes God lets us see our own helplessness. There's things that we are not sufficient for. The most important thing in this life is to come into a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the real meaning of life. If we miss that, everything else in life is worthless. Amen? If we miss that, everything else in life is worthless. Now, God loves us. He created us so that he could have a real relationship with ones who truly loved him voluntarily. That's the purpose of this world. God loves us. So in loving us, he hates sin because that destroys our lives and removes us from a relationship with him. So those things that's causing us to be hindered in our relationship or removed, God hates. Amen? God hates those who hurt. And sin is selfish and hurtful. God's still active in his creation. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. God says, Peter was saying, even 2,000 years ago, in the first 50 years or so after Jesus was crucified, they're saying, you talk about him coming again? He ain't came. Everything's the same as it's been since creation. But he said, they are willingly ignorant. God has stepped into creation many times. The one that's referenced here in Peter is the sending of the flood that destroyed everybody off the earth in the day of Noah. Amen? Now, God oftentimes shows restraint and mercy in dealing with sin, because he wants as many as possible to be saved. But that doesn't mean God does not intervene. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's coming a day when God calls an end to all of it. But this passage tells us God is patient and shows mercy because he wants as many as possible to be saved. God does bring judgment. He has intervened in times past. But God rarely brings judgment without warnings. Remember God purposed to destroy Nineveh? And he sent down a message. They repented. They were an evil nation that didn't know God, yet he gave them warning. God sent warnings to Israel before they were taken into captivity. He sent smaller captivities, smaller battles, a harbinger of things that were to come in the future as a warning. While Noah prepared the ark before the flood, God allowed Noah to work and preach for 100 years while he's preparing the ark and warning people. God warns. And I believe God is warning us now. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. These warnings ought to help us get our priorities straight. We need to be prepared. Amen? Now, a lot of people think they need to be prepared with a lot of food and toilet paper and whatever else they need to run out and get. But I'm telling you, we need to be prepared if God's warning us. God is moving. If he cannot awaken, eventually God will judge a judgment unto destruction. If you care about your family, your life, their life, you ought to be moved with fear. This is a serious situation. It's much more serious than the current pandemic. More serious than making sure we have enough food and toilet paper. This is a serious situation dealing with God. Too many people today are playing church. Too many are going through the motions. Too many have other priorities that are crowding out their commitment to Jesus Christ and his kingdom in their lives, in the lives of their families. And I tell you what, as I prayed and meditated on this, I am particularly concerned about our young families and young adults. They are not, and I'm talking about our home congregation, Clear Creek, and our fellowship at large. They are not engaged spiritually by and large the way they should be. They're consumed with making a living, with their family's activities, with other things that's going on. And I tell you, this is a time, take heed to yourself. It's a time to be moved with fear, with a sense of urgency. Prepare an ark. Prepare a place of safety from the storm. And by that I mean structure your life in the home to be a spiritual haven. Make sure your relationship with God is real and satisfying. That means deal with any personal sins and selfishness you may have been neglecting or allowed. Deal with it. Don't neglect your communion with God for anything. Build the ark. Build the ark so you and your family can ride out the storm. Talk about God in your home. Make it a natural part of your life. If you are filled with your relationship with God and it's real and satisfying, it's natural to talk about it. Make it a natural part of your life. Give spiritual context to today's problems to your kids and grandkids. Be the spiritual leader. Be an active and real part of the body of believers. We may not be able to gather together as we were used to. I trust eventually we will. But they need you and you need them. Look for ways to help your brothers and sisters to be encouraged spiritually. Look after their needs physically and financially as well. Be a spiritual beacon, a light in this darkness, a voice of hope for tomorrow. Keep your faith. Keep your hope. Keep your trust and love in God. Talk about God. Talk about his power. Talk about his plan. Talk about his wisdom. Talk about his love. Show your trust in God by living a confident life. Not in a presumptive way. I don't mean disregarding the social directions we've been given and bullying our way into things. I don't mean in a presumptive way, but I mean real trust with God. Be wise in your preparations physically, financially, but still trust God first and foremost. Demonstrate the priority of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. There may be panic, but we can be calm because we have a God who cares for us. Some people may start looking for answers. Be ready, confident to show the way to a real relationship with God. a real love and trust that results in a changed life because you want to please Him, because we want to be in communion with Him. I want to challenge us again this morning. Keep your faith, but then, being warned of God as things not seen as yet, move with fear to prepare an ark to the saving of your house and those around you. My prayer is that we take hold of this in a serious way. I know some people get serious about their finances. Some people get worried about what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the health. But I tell you what, more than anything else, we ought to be concerned about what's going on spiritually. If we're not awakened, if we're not available to show the real route to a real relationship with God, what hope does the world around us have? Amen? What hope do they have? What hope do your family have? Because all we worry about is our money and our things and our job and our career. They're going to grow up and that's going to be primary in their life, and church is just something to add on when it's convenient. Because that's what you're demonstrating to some of them. We can talk all we want, but unless you really live the life, unless this thing is real inside of you, unless you have a real relationship with God and a real confidence in God, unless that real relationship is real, those around us, our words are not going to be convincing. And that's my prayer for you. Dig deep. Find solid ground. Get your relationship to a real and satisfying place with God. Then prepare an ark. Do those things to help those around us find a spiritual place of safety to ride out this storm. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. I pray to take our few words here this morning and bring them to a strength and awakening to hearts and souls. I pray for each one out there. I pray especially for our older saints that You'd protect them from the harm of this virus that's going around. I pray for our younger brothers and sisters that You'd awaken them to the urgency of the hour. It's their place to be stepping up and bearing the work. And so many are distracted with other things that they have to be carried instead of being doing the carrying. I pray You'll shake them and awaken them, Lord. Bring them to the place of acknowledging the priority of Your place in their life and their responsibility in preparing an ark for the saving of their own family and those around them. Help us, I pray, as we go forward this week. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless each one. Thank you, each one, for joining. I appreciate each one of you. This